This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. Here in the studio in Bend, Oregon, I've got with us Bobby and Becky Hobby. Hey guys.
Hey there.
How are you doing?
Good. This is part of the series of these micro episodes that we're doing leading up to this Imagine conference that is going to be really fantastic. And we have with us today one of the speakers that's for that conference, Dawn Potter. Dawn, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We're so glad that you are, and we're so excited to hear what you are going to be bringing to us at this conference. But today, we just want to kind of dig into this stuff at the high level. And this conference is called Imagine, No Agenda But God's. And I think that says a lot in itself. But in the pre-show, we were chatting a little bit about how right now the enemy seems to be doing everything possible to disrupt the very thing that we are going for in that conference. So I'd love to just hear your thoughts, you know, as we kind of dig into this. You know, what do you see happening with regards to, you know, hosting the presence and that sort of thing?
Something, great to see you guys, by the way. Something that's really beginning to move deeply in my heart is God started to, he showed me something in scripture that when we get to the end of it all, there'll be a time when God is always present. That says no death. There will be no death. The word death means the absence of the presence of God. So I can say without a question that the absence of his presence is the worst possible place you could ever be, ever, ever, ever. And that would be death. Even though some may think there's something more horrible, I don't think there's anything more horrible than that. At any rate, he said there's going to be no more death. And I started thinking, Lord, what happens when, you know, I have a great day and you're present and I'm on the floor and then the next day is not that? You know what I mean? It's something tormenting and it's something different. And I said, God, you know, and David said it all the time. He wrote, "Well, God, where are you? I've cried all night on my couch." And so here's a man after God's own heart, and he can't find the Lord on certain days. So he's asked, so I say, well, you know what? You know, what's the deal with that, Lord? And now you say that those who are true, faithful to you, he says, has any of that made you want to seek me more? I said, well, yeah, I want to seek you more. He said, that's kind of what it's for. He said, I don't want to just destroy you with my presence. Now, this sounds like crazy because we want presence of God. But we will not function well when I spend a lot of time waiting on God. And when I'm done, a lot of my sentences they're blurred and slurred. And I don't see anything important in this earth. I think it fulfills that little beautiful song that says everything will, you know, all the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I realized then, You can't be in that glory. Sorry. And survive. Because you really don't want to. I keep saying, if I could go home, Ralph, this would be great. He said, yeah, well, it's not done. It's not done what I have for you. And I was like, yeah, okay. So what's coming right now is we have things to do. We must finish what God has set into motion, into action for those who trust him and love him. We cannot not fulfill that. I do not. This is what happens in the presence. You don't survive. I wish I could talk more beautifully when he falls on me, but I don't sing well either. So I usually just play when he falls on me, so I can do that. But so I'm saying all of these things, and I hope I'm not sounding like an old idiot, but if that's what God looks like, then an old idiot I will be. I feel like we're not totally grasping that, and we will. I don't think he's going to abandon anyone. I think he's going to see to it that we do grasp this. That's what I hope this time is for, is to give you a moment of grasping that. If you can let go of it, then you'll probably be able to let go of it the rest of your life. If you can't, you probably won't be able to let go of it the rest of your life. If that makes any sense of what I've just said. So recently he's fallen on me several times, much heavier than I've experienced before, and I've spent a lot of time doing this. But recently he wanted me to know that when he is not just burning my face off with his awesome presence, he is waiting for my desire to be awakened. Will you come after me now when you can't feel my sight, you can't sense and feel my presence? And so my hope, my prayer, is that we release the addictive power of that presence at this time, that no one would be able to resist it after this hour. The truth of the matter is we won't make it without it. So that's the deal, if I've made any sense.
Man, I just love that. And that describes exactly where not only we're going in this event, because it's so much bigger than an event. I think we can all hear a heart cry for a lifestyle.
Yeah.
That is the heart cry in the body of Christ right now.
Yeah.
And it's at least the invitation for that from the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm hearing from Don right now, is that invitation by the Holy Spirit, that heart cry that says, make this your priority. So what can happen? Imagine if we make his presence our priority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we live from that place. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I mean, he lived a lifestyle of in the presence of the Lord so much to where God says, you spend most of your time here anyway. You might as well just come. Mm-hmm. And in the book of Enoch, it says, and Enoch was found at the ends of the earth where the angels tread. Just this place of presence. It doesn't mean, you know, that we're not any earthly good on the planet, but I don't know anybody right now who's too heavenly minded. I think we need a ton more time in his presence, and we're throwing away all the agendas, everything we've known for a conference. Hey, this is when you speak, and we're throwing that all out, not because we don't believe in process. God is completely meticulous. Look around, look at the planet. However, God also built an ark with no rudder on purpose, so that we, if we were going to live in presence, would have to lose control. And although the ark was built with meticulous blueprints, he left the rudder off on purpose. And so we're throwing that to the wind, and we're saying, God, lead us. What literally could he imagine if we let him do what he wants to do?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I know that, like what Don is saying, that we won't make it without his presence. And if we could, if we can all feel the soberness of that and look at our future, God still has a plan for us. He still has things for us to do. But if we don't have his presence, it's not going to be worth anything anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this expression that people are saying a lot nowadays, and they're throwing it around a lot. Don't be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. And I think that actually can be applied and is actually valid sometimes. But I think when it's valid, it means that we're not really heavenly minded. It's maybe a false attempt or maybe an honest attempt, but from what I'm hearing you say, Don, and what I really resonated with me is when you're really heavenly minded, that's when you get filled up so that you're more earthly good. It's not that you're distracted. I think people can get distracted sometimes by attempting to be heavenly minded, but that's actually kind of a misplaced, you know, experience, I think. So, Don, can you speak to that briefly? We have just a couple of minutes left in this little micro episode. Can you speak briefly about that and maybe how people can prepare themselves to kind of have the right perspective as they're going after the presence of God?
Some of the hardest things that we probably all face is how much time we think it's going to take to get into the presence of God. We think we're going to do an 8-hour day in that thing. And I've you know, got plenty of experiences with 5-minute slams right in the face from God. And my effort was, and he used this example. He said, you know, if you're waiting for something in the mail, you go to the mailbox. If it's not there, you go back tomorrow. Do you go back to the house and say, well, it's never coming? You know the postal service, you know what's going on. Go back, you go back tomorrow. If you still see nothing, you go back the next day. You will go back until you get what's been sent to you. And he said, if you show God, or he's shown me this, if you show me that you're willing to come back every day for me, 2 minutes, 5, 10, whatever you can give him, he will show up. And when he starts to do that, you will extend that time, no matter how many, what it costs you, you will begin to extend it. And he's not like crazy. He doesn't think you've got to give up your job in order to seek God or find God, but he would like to go with you to the job. And he can do that in 2 minutes if you can give him that every single day. If that's your intent, and set something aside. When I pick up my pen and my little book, my little journal, he knows one thing. I'm waiting for you to say something to me, and I'm ready to write it down. He knows that. I set that time aside. He knows that. Oh, he's got his book. He's waiting for me. Boom. And he talks not every day, but lots of days he does. And I'm going to be there tomorrow, and I'm going to be there the next day and the next. And now I have 30 years of him, something he's written down every day. I got books and books of things God said. Someday he may even let me say it to you. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference, but I sure have enjoyed this relationship. And it has made me a whole lot better man than I really am because I hang with the King. That's a real important part. The wretchedness you feel you are. Yeah, you're all that. But when you hang with the King, you are something different, and that's what changes us, is being with the King. That's all there is to it.
Wow, Don, I just love the picture that you've used going to the mailbox. I mean, that's just so powerful. And, you know, God doesn't ever increase the price of stamps either, so that's also a bonus. But I think it's such a good, practical thing that you're telling us, is that it takes consistency and purposeful. You don't accidentally go to the post office box. You don't accidentally go to the mailbox. You go there on purpose. And what I hear you saying is, it's that purposeful, dedicated, you know, to create the space for the relationship. And God's always ready. It's more on us. It's always on us. He's always ready for us. And I think that's so powerful. I am so excited for this conference. I'm really looking forward to just the experience, but also hearing the things that I know that God is going to speak through you and the other people in powerful ways. So we're really looking forward to it. We got to wrap this one up because these are little micro episodes, but thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing. We're putting all the information for this conference in the show notes. If the conference has already happened and you're watching this later, there's a lot of resources available. We'll put those in the show notes as well. We'll put info to find more things from Don there as well. So check that stuff out. We really appreciate it. And we will see you guys in the next episode. Thanks.